This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is kicking off another week of action by giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets instantly. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock, 3:01 on a rainy Wednesday in East Tennessee. Thanks for tuning in this afternoon back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Thanks to everybody who came out to Craven Wings yesterday. It was fantastic. Took the food home. And I must say, I might have a new favorite wing place in town. Like, it's legit. And I had somebody text me after the show, and they said, is Craven Wings, is it worth the trip out there? First of all, it's not that far out there. But yes, it's worth the trip. And then, look, you decide, if it's worth return trips out there. I think I will be going back. I took 3 orders of wings home and the spicy cheese curds, which thank you for that recommendation, Jake Miller. That was outstanding.
Pretty clutch.
Had a couple of those on the way home. Really enjoyed that. Bear, whatever you're listening to or playing or doing, just stop.
I got it taken care of.
Lost the Amtrak of thought has derailed. Yeah, we get the wings back home. Not only did I love the, I was a big lemon pepper. Lemon pepper was my favorite. The garlic parm seemed to be my wife and daughter's favorite. And then I got the habanero salsa, habanero mango, which was really good too.
Woo.
So it was all good at Craven Wings, and we will definitely, the Smith family will definitely be going back. So, folks, a lot going on today. We have a lot to get to. Blake Topmeyer is coming up to help us preview an excellent slate of college football coming up this weekend. But, Bear, I mean, there's so much going on, man. I don't even where should we start? You've got the Florida game. You've got the university announcing a big ticket revamp initiative, ticket sales revamp, the way they're going to be selling tickets. You've got the 2022 schedule out, including the Vols buying out of that game with Army that's been on the schedule for years.
How much do we pay them to get out of that game?
I think it's just like $100,000.
You sure?
I thought it was $500,000, according to Trey.
No, I thought that the way I read it, it was just a $100,000 buyout. Like, they don't get anything until the game actually played, and we were going to pay them $1 million for the game or $500,000 for the game, and we ended up just paying them $100,000 to get out of the contract, and they go find somebody else.
So that money's going to West Point, which in turn goes to the United States government.
No, I
guess so.
Go directly into the West Point's athletics.
I don't know. I don't know how that works. Does West Point have an athletics department that's self-sufficient, or does all that money come from Uncle Sam? You're the former military guy, Miller.
When I think of the Army getting $500,000, it's probably going to go to equipment that's
buy a
not
tank
needed
or something.
No, it's not even going to buy that. It's probably just going to buy a bunch of MREs.
Well, I mean,
Equipment, I would think it would go more towards, the academies. equipment budget so far as like football equipment and travel.
Listen,
just got a text from Trey for some clarification. We were going to pay them 1.4. We negotiated it down to 500K.
Okay,
negotiated 500K.
I would rather pay that money as far as setting money on fire goes, which we are exceptional at. I mean, listen, for all the problems we're having with this football thing, trying to get back and be a productive football program once again in the big stage, the big picture of national college football, if setting money on fire for a sport, or a D1 college football sport, we would be the Alabama of that sport. Not even Alabama. We'd be like Alabama, the Yankees, the Reds, the
Dodgers,
whoever. Just rolled into one. It would
John
be the
Wooden UCLA Bruins.
Yes, it would be the greatest dynasty in the history of not just college sport, not just American sport, but just sport in general. It would be the Roman Empire. I mean, I wish we could hang a banner for setting money on fire. And by the way, as far as setting money on fire goes, I would rather give it to West Point and buy, like Jake said, a bunch of MREs than give it to Philip Fulmer or Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, maybe this is the sign of turning a corner. Maybe we're getting better at this.
I don't know. I'm a little disappointed.
Why?
I like playing the service academies. I'm old school.
Yeah, but that's like, first of all, those games are never easy. And the way we've been doing it, I mean, if Jeremy Pruitt's still a coach, that's an automatic L. I don't blame him one bit. I can see that going down right now. Well, Coach Fulmer, I don't want to spend an entire offseason getting ready for the triple option. All right. So if we can just give them $500,000 and then play Akron, all right, that would be a lot better. Let's play another school.
The Zips instead of the Golden Knights.
Yep.
I don't really have that big of a problem with it. The only thing I hate about it is another one of my strange quirks. I like playing the service academies.
When was the last time we did it, Air Force? I mean, the last time we played that, they almost beat us, and Inky Johnson almost died on the field. I mean, it was not a pleasant experience.
Nah, pretty much wrecked our whole season playing them, didn't it?
Not a good time. Not a lot of fun.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just remember as a kid playing Army, and it was always just a fun. I don't know. I like seeing them.
I like seeing them too. When we win, when we beat them, hey, don't celebrate too hard. These guys are going to be defending our freedom one day. All right. Yeah, we win the game 42-6, but don't celebrate too hard. That's always fun. I mean, I don't even know next year. Look, we're trying to pick ourselves up and dust our britches off right now. Is Josh Heupel going to be? Is our program going to be in any kind of condition to win them? Army's been pretty good lately, right? Was it Todd Monken up there? I mean,
they've not been a bad program.
They've been on the upswing, and I mean, that's the one thing about playing the service academies. Usually they typically, not surprisingly, usually very well disciplined, tough kids, and you can't overlook them.
Not going to get a lot of personal foul penalties for the guy grabbing his crotch and mugging for the cameras after a first down.
No.
Not going to see a choreographed end zone celebration after a touchdown when you're playing Air Force.
Usually you're going to play a really hard, tough-nosed football team that's, you know, doesn't make a whole lot of mistakes. So.
And weren't we were scheduled to go up there too, I believe. I think that was a home and home. I don't know, maybe not.
Which would have been incredible.
That would have been so much fun, right?
I might have made that trip.
My nephews went up there right before COVID, maybe the year before COVID, for a coaching clinic up there at West Point. And, brought back tons of pictures. It's absolutely
it's beautiful.
Gorgeous.
It's right there on the river, right there on the Hudson, and you've got,
history,
that would have been a lot of fun.
Went there.
unless of course we lost, then it wouldn't be so great. I was chatting with we were texting a group text with me, some high school buddies, and I don't know how we got on this, but we were talking about bad road trips, and me and my buddy were talking about going to this Waffle House in Columbia, South Carolina after the Tennessee-South Carolina game in 2005, 2006? I don't remember. 2005, I believe.
It had to have been an odd year.
And we went to this Waffle House on the way home, and there were only like four people there, and it got slammed because it's right after a football game. And as soon as it got slammed, like two or three people just quit. At which point, like literally walked off on the job, leaving one or two people to deal with a full Waffle House lined up out the door. And these poor people that were working there, man, it just became a free-for-all. Like, they were just making random plates of food, and me and my buddy just said, yeah, I'll take that, because it had some of the stuff I wanted. And I went back and got my own drink. I walked back behind the counter, yeah, and got my – like, they were – and they did not care.
My bad. It had to be an even year, so it might have been 06.
So
usually that'll I get your ass ran from a.
Oh no, they were perfectly fine with it. They were so overwhelmed. And anyway, on the way home, my buddy texts me and he's like, "Oh yeah, that was the trip where I fell asleep at the wheel and we almost crashed in Asheville." And I was like, "Oh. I said, "I don't remember that." And he said, "Yeah, you were asleep." And I was like, "Well, I did not expect to start my day by realizing that I almost died in a fiery interstate crash at the age of 26. But, yeah, so that was a really odd thing to, like, come to terms with.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that I could have been killed.
But you had a near-death experience and you didn't know about.
I didn't even know about it until today. Folks,
that's your only one?
Bear's like, what? I've had three this week. Folks, we have Blake Topmeyer from the New Sentinel coming up here in just a second. A lot to get to. We get his thoughts on the 2022 schedule. I've got some more thoughts on that for you. And, of course, we'll talk Tennessee, Florida. When we continue, it's The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Stay with us. We're back with more after this. The Drive. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Blake Topmeyer is on the G3 Help Me Hotline, SEC college football columnist for USA Today. Good afternoon, Blake. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, you guys?
Hey, doing very well, thank you. A lot going on here in Knoxville all of a sudden with the schedule release and the ticket thing, but Tennessee, Florida still taking precedence, I guess, for most Tennessee fans. Blake, how would you describe Tennessee's chances against Florida this weekend?
Not good. I was in the swamp on Saturday for Florida, Alabama. Obviously came away impressed by Florida, like I think most people did. You know, came out flat in the first quarter, and I thought that was going to be that. You know, I thought Alabama would roll from there, but no. I mean, Florida was the better team throughout the final three quarters of that game. Really impressed with what Florida's doing in its run game. I think that's going to give Tennessee problems. I thought Florida outplayed Alabama at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball for the majority of that game. And I think all of that spells trouble for the Vols on Saturday.
It seems like with that development, Florida being better than most of us thought they would be, it seems like the gap between Georgia and Florida and the rest of the East is pretty big right now, Blake. We maybe thought Kentucky might be closing in, but seems like they kind of got a reality check last week. Is that your sense of the East through 3 weeks as well?
Yeah, I agree. I thought coming into the season there was really sort of three tiers in the East. You had Georgia, Florida at the top, then you had Kentucky, Missouri in tier two, and the remaining three schools, Tennessee, South Carolina, Vanderbilt in tier three. And I'm starting to rethink that, and that that Kentucky Chattanooga game, you know, is causing some of that reevaluation on my part. I mean, I'm kind of with you at this point. Feels like there's really just two tiers in the SEC East, and it's Georgia, Florida. And I was surprised coming into the season that that people felt there was such a huge gap between Georgia and Florida. I mean, it seemed like a foregone conclusion that, that Georgia was going to win the East. And I did pick Georgia to win the East, but I felt like it was still pretty close between those teams. But yeah, the drop-off after that, and I think that's the good news for Tennessee, yeah, is that there is a drop-off after those two, and that maybe it is in there, in fact, in there with that tier that includes Kentucky and Missouri. And so, you know, from that sense, I think that's good for Tennessee, from the sense that I think Florida is not all that far behind Georgia. I think that's bad news for the Vols on Saturday.
It's an opportunity for Josh Heupel to take his team down there, and hey, nobody expects them to win, and it'll be interesting to see what they do at the quarterback position and how aggressive they are offensively. But what to you constitutes success for Tennessee? I mean, it's a shame that you're talking about a story program like that in terms of a moral victory is the best they could hope for. But what if you're Josh Heupel, what are you hoping to see out of your team Saturday night?
I think be competitive. You know, I think that's what Vols fans want to see. I mean, sure, Tennessee fans, they want to see a win first and foremost. And I don't know that you would ever hear most Tennessee fans say, out loud at least, that they're in the market for moral victories. But I think, you know, truly deep down, a lot of Tennessee fans would be satisfied with a competitive game on Saturday, because that would tell you a couple things. Number one, it would tell you that maybe the gap isn't so broad between the top of the East and where the Vols are. And number two, it would tell you, I think that there's still a lot of wins to be had out there for Tennessee. If they can go out there and compete with Florida, then yeah, that tells me that, you know, maybe we shouldn't be writing off those games against Missouri and Kentucky and on down the line. And this is a team that, despite that loss to Pittsburgh, can still get to bowl eligibility. If they come out and just get steamrolled on Saturday, we're all going to be wondering, I think, or we should be wondering, why Danny White and Dondi Plowman didn't assess a bowl ban, a self-imposed bowl ban on the team this year, because if they come out and get smoked on Saturday, that tells me that there's going to be no bowl game for this team this year.
Is it reading too much into it, Blake, to think that the reason that they haven't assessed a bowl ban or anything like that is that they're maybe trying to run out the clock on the NCAA, as so many of these basketball programs seem to be trying to do?
Yeah, maybe they're doing that. The problem with that is, you know, these basketball programs, they're not copping to any wrongdoing. You know, Tennessee copped right up front to, you know, breaking a swath of rules. You know, that Dondi Plowman said when she fired Jeremy Pruitt that there were sweeping violations. They've admitted to the crime. They walked up to the judge and said, "Judge, we're guilty." When you do that, I think you have a hard time avoiding sentence. Now, certainly the NCAA could fold up shop in the next year or so, or the Committee of Infractions could throw up its hands and say, "We're not going to enforce this stuff anymore." But I don't know. I still think, you know, long term, the NCAA is going to have a seat at the table. I think the Committee of Infractions is not entirely going to go away, at least not in time for Tennessee's sake. So yeah, I just have a hard time seeing Tennessee, and I've said this from the jump, I have a hard time seeing Tennessee avoid any penalty out of this when, like I said, you walked in front of the judge and jury in January and say, "We're guilty. Guilty as charged. We're admitting guilt." I think it's a hard time then to avoid sentence.
Blake Topmeyer, the USA Today Network, with us here this afternoon on the show. Blake, elsewhere in the SEC, seems like a big moment for Arkansas and Sam Pittman this week. How do you like their chances at A&M?
Well, this is really one of the more interesting games this weekend for sure. I guess I'm slightly leaning towards A&M, but only ever so slightly. And if you would have asked me at the beginning of the season, I would not have thought that. I mean, I'm still not quite going all the way there yet on saying Arkansas is legit, but my reasons for not believing that are kind of being whittled away by the day. You know, I think I was wrong on Sam Pittman. I think that's becoming obvious. You know, when a couple off seasons ago, when there were the four new coaching hires in the SEC, Sam Pittman was the one I said I don't get this hire. It felt really underwhelming. hiring an offensive line coach, a well-regarded offensive line coach, certainly from his time at Georgia, good recruiter. But still, that making that jump from offensive line coach to head coach, just it felt like a real leap to me, and it really looks like I was wrong, and many people were wrong on that. I mean, Sam Pittman came out and turned some heads in year one in winning three SEC games for a program that was just abysmal before his arrival, lost to Western Kentucky and San Jose State, and then now has followed up on that with a 3-0 start and beaten Texas. I think we have to acknowledge that Arkansas got a lot better, a lot more quickly than I think most of us would have ever dreamed. I think they're playing really well in the trenches. I still have questions about KJ Jefferson's, passing ability as a quarterback. I know he finally had a good game throwing the ball there in week three after a couple lackluster performances there through the air. At least he's a good runner. And that's still a lingering concern for me going into this SEC slate is, can they throw the ball, well enough to be multidimensional? But I think that game looks a lot more interesting than it would have to me a month ago.
How about Ole Miss off this week? St. Lane has 2 weeks to prepare for his trip to Tuscaloosa. We all remember that shootout last season. Is this the year where a former Saban assistant finally beats the master? And how wild would that be if Jimbo couldn't do it, Kirby couldn't do it, all the guys that took their crack, and it's freaking Lane Kiffin of all guys that might finally get the monkey off his back.
Yeah, if Lane does this, I mean, the hype for Lane is going to be, think it's big now. It's just going to be through the roof because of exactly what you said. This is something Jimbo couldn't get done. Kirby couldn't get done. You go on down the line, and then you have Lane Kiffin, who just in year two could get it done. You could commission the statue down there in Oxford already if Lane Kiffin and Matt Corral pulled us off. I think, to me, it's an interesting game from a number of levels. One, I mean, topic number one is, can Kiffin beat Saban? And we saw some vulnerability from Alabama on Saturday, and I think to beat Saban in this era, this new offensive-oriented era of college football we've really shifted into the last few years, you're going to have to score a bunch of points. I mean, LSU won that game of the century in 2011, 9-6. I don't think you're beating Nick Saban 9-6 anymore. It's just not going to happen. So Ole Miss has the offense to do it. And I think the other, kind of like the undercard headline of this matchup is Matt Corral versus Bryce Young. I know, Heisman trophies aren't won in September. They're not won in October. They're won in November. But be that as it may, you got two guys that, I think are going to be in the Heisman conversation throughout the season. And I think we'll look back on this kind of point of comparison and how these two guys fare on October 2nd. I mean, Matt Corral is he's looking like the best quarterback in America right now. And I know, still a long ways to go. We got to see him do it against the SEC. But, he looks like a high-level draft pick. When you have a quarterback that stinking good, you have a chance against anybody in the country, and that includes Alabama.
When we talk about Ole Miss and Arkansas and this year two turnaround that both those programs are enjoying, is that a model that you think Josh Heupel could follow here? Because neither one of those programs, they had some excitement last year, but you go back and look at the records, they were not very impressive by any stretch of the imagination, and yet they've been able to take what appears to be a big step forward in year two. Do you think that's something that Heupel could replicate here in Knoxville?
I think that should be the expectation. Like, this idea that coaches need to have forever and a day to get things humming, maybe in a perfect world, at least for the coaches' standpoint, that would be true, but it's just not. These guys are paid too much. The expectations of SEC football are too high to just kind of sit back and say, you have a multi-year honeymoon period. I think by year two, you don't need to be out there winning the division necessarily, certainly not in a situation that Josh Heupel stepped into at Tennessee. No one expects him to be, catapulting Georgia in year two. But I think there is some there is some reason to expect some excitement in year two and expect you know, to be hanging in there with most of your SEC peers. And I think, to your point, Arkansas and Ole Miss are a great example of why you should expect that. It doesn't need to take a lifetime to turn your program around. Now, you know, the roster situation that Josh Heupel inherited certainly was a challenge, and he didn't inherit any quarterback that's anywhere near as good as Matt Corral. However, you know, I mean, Corral really took off after Lane Kiffin came into town. You know, he's the guy that gets credit and his staff for helping develop Corral. And so that's on Heupel to develop a quarterback, to recruit and develop a quarterback like that at Tennessee, or to get somebody, you know, fresh in the transfer portal in this offseason. That's the other thing with getting your program going. I think it's in some ways easier than it used to be, because it doesn't just take recruiting classes anymore. Now you can attack it in the transfer portal. You got multiple avenues to try to address the needs within your program. And so I think that does ratchet up the pressure a little bit to kind of get some success going earlier in your tenure.
Well, it's going to be difficult against the schedule that was unveiled yesterday. Blake, last thing for you. Tennessee gets, of course, the SEC East. And then from the West, you get Alabama and LSU, just what Josh Heupel wants in his second year of rebuilding. Blake, they've got to shake up the scheduling format when Texas and Oklahoma come in, right? You can't have not just from Tennessee's perspective, but this happens. It's going to happen to other schools. You can't have that kind of scheduling disparity among teams, I would think.
I agree. I mean, even if Tennessee, if they go to an 18 division format or a 14 pod format, if they end up with Alabama, sure, fine. That's the way it is. I mean, somebody's got to end up with Alabama. But this deal where, you know, everybody has one designated crossover rival, and you got Ole Miss out there playing Vanderbilt every year as their rival. You got Mississippi State playing Kentucky, and then you have Tennessee gets Alabama every year. I mean, I get the reasoning behind it. They wanted to preserve those rivalries like Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, Auburn. They wanted to make sure that they remained on the schedule every year, but this just isn't the right way to do it. If you want Tennessee and Alabama to play every year, then go ahead and just put them in the same division, or if you're going to go to a four-team pod format, just put them in the same pod. And that stinks for Tennessee, but whatever. Somebody's got to be in the division with them. Somebody's got to be in the pod with them. But don't have this deal where you're not in the same division or you're not in the same pod, and you got to play them nonetheless every year while you got other teams designated to play Vanderbilt every year. That's just, you know, college football isn't fair. College football has never been fair, but that's one of the more unfair things I think that you can have. Is one team in the SEC has Alabama as its designated rival, and another team in the SEC has Vanderbilt, a women's bowling school, designated as its rival. That's not fair at all.
Blake, always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks for hopping on with us. We'll talk again soon.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Blake Topmeyer of the USA Today Network. You read his stuff quite often in your News Sentinel. You can follow him on Twitter at B Topmeyer on the Twitter machine. We got to take a quick timeout. Blake joins his all fan run guests do via the G3 Help Me Hotline. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III can help you get the compensation you deserve at G3. You matter most. Visit g3helpme.com or call 865-401-8214 to get help now. Again, that's G3HelpMe.com. Back with more right after this.
Office Furniture Outfitters has the biggest selection of the best value in office.
Welcome back. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio coming up Friday. We will be live at the Axe House in Pigeon Forge. Looking forward to this one. A special six-hour extravaganza. Fan Run style. Talk sports. John Reed and crew going to be up there from noon to 3. And then I'll be doing the drive from 3 to 6. Sevierville, we want to see you. Sevier County, Pigeon Forge. We're going to be there this Friday from noon to 6 at the Axe House in the Pigeon Forge Factory Outlet Mall right there on the main drag. You can't miss it. They are going to have a tailgate party all day on Saturday, not just for the Tennessee game, but for all the great games. And we'll go through the full lineup coming up for you here in just a second. It's fantastic. But, yeah, tailgate party all day Saturday at the Axe House in Pigeon Forge featuring 50-cent wings, $2 domestic drafts, $10.99 12-inch two-topping pizzas all day long. So come kick off the weekend with Fan Run Radio Friday from noon to 6 at the Axe House in Pigeon Forge. Can't wait. A lot of fun. A lot of fun. The pizza is great. The beer is cold. And the axe throwing, man. I mean, it's the only place I've ever thrown axes at. And I had mixed results last time.
The last time you did.
Yeah. It's fun. I was so scared the first time. Like, I was just terrified that I was going to, like, let go at the wrong time and just throw it right into my shin.
Really?
Seriously. Yeah. Like, I didn't.
You're not that uncoordinated.
No, I'm not. I mean, it was fine. But once I'm standing there, I didn't think about it on the way up there. And then all of a sudden, I'm holding an axe, getting set to throw it. I'm like, wait a minute. I've never done this before. This is kind of dangerous.
You've never thrown an axe?
Not until I was at the Axe House. Why would I throw an axe?
I have.
You didn't just pick one up out of the yard at your parents' house as a kid and just chuck it in a tree?
I did. I mean, I don't know how things were in Campbell County for you growing up, Jake Miller, but on the mean streets of West Knoxville, we did not just have axes laying around in the backyard. No, I never did that.
You didn't go out to the
buddy
tools.
That got into it. He had a thing set up in his backyard, throw axes and those throwing knives. It's kind of fun.
Ever have a throwing star? I always felt like that was an underrated weapon on the Ninja Turtles growing up.
Yeah, I took one off a juvenile delinquent back when I used to work with juvenile delinquents.
A throwing star?
Yeah. It was at a school I worked at.
What were those things? Who was the red Ninja Turtle? Was it Raphael? What were those things he had? It was like three-pronged.
I mean, a little bit before my time.
I never watched Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, really? No. I'm right in the sweet spot between you two here. Oh, Ninja Turtles were great. Michelangelo's the party dude.
I don't know what they were.
Donatello was the purple one. He had the staff. Donatello got the short end of the stick. I mean, Raphael had the little knife things. Leonardo had nunchucks, I believe. I can't remember what Michelangelo had. Maybe a sword. And like Donatello just had a big stick.
It's a bow staff, dude.
It was just a staff. I mean, he was good with it. Like, don't get me wrong, but I want you to give me something sharp.
It's a bow staff, right?
What's a bow staff? I don't know.
Like kendo stick?
It's one of those long sticks. Napoleon Dynamite was in that movie.
Yeah, I feel like Donatello's staff, it was like 5 or 6 feet long. Shout out to Fan Run Out of Context. I know that'll be going up in just a second.
Mm-hmm.
Bear, Blake Topmeyer, USA Today Network, what did you learn?
The whole thing about the schedule for next year and how we keep getting a shaft. Drawing Alabama and LSU. Like you said, when they bring Alabama and Oklahoma in, they're going to have to. That's why I've always said if they're going to do that, then I want to see Alabama and Auburn put over into the East if they're going to go with the two division deal. I don't want to go to the pod thing because it's going to be us, probably us in either Vanderbilt or Kentucky, Alabama and Auburn.
I will say this about the LSU game. Alabama is what – I mean, as long as we play them every year, it's a built-in loss as long as Saban's there. I think every realistic Tennessee fan knows that deep down in their heart, so that's whatever. But LSU, you do consider that they might not be the formidable opponent they have been lately. They could either be going into a tailspin as – Ed Orgeron, you know, the dying days of his reign there. Or if he ends up getting fired this year, they could be a first-year head coach. How about playing Lane Kiffin next year down in Baton Rouge, Bear? How does that strike you?
Pretty good.
It's man, he's going to have his choices. Jake and I were looking at a thing. See if I can pull this up for you. But there is a columnist down in South Florida speculating today. He says that he's talked to several key Miami boosters and that they are already vetting potential replacements for Manny Diaz. Which, to me...
Kiffin and South Beach.
Well, you know, to me, it's all about Cristobal, right? He went there... He's a Miami guy, and
right now
all of a sudden he's being courted by USC and maybe some other schools. And I mean, it's probably a good thought by them. It's kind of unfair to Manny Diaz, who did go 8-3 last year, had them in the top 25.
8-2 in the regular season. His only losses were to Clemson and North Carolina.
They weren't bad.
Unless Manny Diaz goes to Florida State, because that's where he went anyway.
I don't think they would take him, right?
You don't think they would?
I don't know, but here's the thing. The money, Miami is not just flush with cash these days, just like Florida State.
Well, no, Shapiro's in jail.
Their guys are – well, they were never – I don't know. It's a different scene down there, obviously. But, I mean, to buy out Diaz, I think, would be like $8 million. And then there's an $8 million buyout they would owe Oregon to get Cristobal. And then you'd have to give him a huge contract. And they were speculating that once all the buyouts, all the firings and hirings are done, that it would cost well over $50 million, which they don't know if Miami has.
I mean, if Cristobal wants to leave, or I mean, he's just now gotten them up and running.
Yeah, how much do you love Miami would be the question.
I don't know if I'd be leaving Oregon if I were him.
Seems like he's got a good thing going up there.
Yeah, he's got it rolling. He's just now starting to... you know, reap the fruit of all the hard work he's been doing up there. I'd like to see Oregon and Alabama.
I'd like to see Florida play a non-conference game outside of the state of Florida. They've not done that in 30 years.
I thought they went somewhere lately.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they went to – did they go to Oklahoma State? Where did they go? Where did they go? They went somewhere lately. I can't remember. Slept since then. Folks, the NFL is back. The NFL is rolling, and it is a lot of fun. Big week this week is you've got Philadelphia and Dallas. FanDuel Sportsbook making it even bigger for you. 30-1 odds on either team to win. That's what you get at FanDuel this week. That means you can end the week by winning $150 on just a $5 bet. You put together your same game parlay, or you could just take those 30-1 odds on either Philly or Dallas to win in Monday Night Football coming up this week. FanDuel is sports betting made simple. They're always hooking you up with great offers. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just sign up with promo code DRIVE1 this week. Before Dallas takes on Philly, you could win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code DRIVE1 so they know I sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Phil is next. Good afternoon, Phil.
What are you saying, W?
Philly.
How you, Baron Jake Snake, doing?
Doing well. Thank you.
Didn't Florida play Michigan and Atlanta a few years ago?
They played them in Arlington.
That's right. Yeah.
Arlington?
Uh-huh. In Texas.
But it wasn't a true road game.
Ah, I see. Technicality.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess for Florida, did a road game, huh?
They beat the brakes off Michigan, didn't they?
I can't even remember. I know I watched
I
the game.
So.
But all in honesty, we're going to get screwed anyway the SEC goes. I mean, you're going to have Alabama in the East or – I don't understand this 14 pod. I don't either, Phil.
I don't like it one bit. And even if we had an easy an easier pod than the one that's being speculated with Vandy, Auburn, and Alabama. I still don't know that I would like it. It's just the conference is going to be so big. I think you just jumble them up. Just put no divisions. Just jumble them up. The two highest winning percentages or whatever playing the championship. I mean, it's not. We've already gotten so far away from all the traditions and everything that used to make this thing special. I don't care if Tennessee doesn't play Alabama every year. I'd kind of prefer they not, actually. And I don't really care about Auburn and Alabama playing every year or Georgia and Auburn playing every year. I mean, it's 2021.
Yeah, it's all good today. Yeah, yeah.
Let's mix it up and just if this is the way we're going to go, let's let all these teams play each other as often as possible.
So Lane Kiffin's going to leave Ole Miss and go to LSU.
Maybe. I mean, if he wins this next week against Alabama in Tuscaloosa, he will – I mean, heck, USC might come back after him. I don't know. He'll have his pick of whatever job he wants this offseason.
Well, good luck. He won't beat Saban at Tuscaloosa.
I mean, he almost did in 2009. He almost beat him in Oxford last year. He's well, been...
almost. I mean, Hugh Freeze is the one that could beat him down there.
Lane's come.
You saw what happened to him, didn't you? As soon as they started beating Alabama a little bit.
Never say never, Phil.
Get the NCAA on them.
Well, I don't think Lane Kiffin would ever have to worry about the NCAA.
Well, he might have other things to worry about. You know what I'm saying? So we're scared to play Army. That's pretty funny.
I mean, can you imagine if Jeremy Pruitt had somehow managed to survive towards year five in Knoxville? First of all, I would be ready to give this job up and go find something else to do, roam the earth kung fu style or something. But second of all, could you imagine the kind of beatdown Army would put on one of his teams?
Well, they'll run those, you know, run that option football, and you know how we defend it. I don't know. What's the deal on this season ticket stuff you were talking earlier in the show? I kind of briefly looked at it on my phone and stuff, but I didn't go into no detail. I figured you might have a short synopsis of it.
I'm kind of like you, Phil. I mean, my eyes start to glaze over when I read some of that stuff. Now, we'll unpack it a little bit coming up here next hour, but the long and short of it is they're going to change the way they do business. And I think some people are going to be okay with it. I think some people are going to be mad. They're going to piss some people off who've had tickets for a long time who are going to have to pay more for those same tickets. And I don't think that's going to go over well for folks who thought that they were grandfathered in for the rest of their lives at a specific rate.
Huh. Well, the bottom line is they better win if they're going to they're already losing people now. They've already lost a generation of young fans, and the people that support them all year, they're going to quit supporting them. That's what's going to be the deathbed of the Tennessee football. Just look at it. My age group is going to be when they quit supporting them, that'll be the end of it, because the younger generation is not going to support them.
No, you're right.
They got their phone and everything else. They can take distractions. You know what I'm saying?
They got to give them a reason to invest both emotionally and financially.
And you know what they're going to do? They're going to increase basketball prices and baseball prices to gouge on that. And, of course, that's the only two products over there right now that Tennessee is a commodity in right now.
Phil, I mean, they're going to have to figure out a way to get this football thing going again. I mean, it's still the straw that stirs the drink over there from a financial.
I'm afraid we're never going to see it like I saw it when I was younger. It's going to be we're going to be like in between the
keep the faith, Phil. Don't give up hope.
Mississippi State and Vanderbilt.
Oh, don't give up. No, not that bad. Wow. Take a quick time out. The drive continues. We're back with more right after this.
The drive.
Size. That's what Raphael had. in the Ninja Turtles? Size.
Size?
Size. I believe they're spelled S-A-I. Somebody spelled them size, S-A-I-G-H. Size, yeah. They're little, like, miniature pitchforks with handles that you hold two of them.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
He messed somebody up with some size. Yep. Shredder had no chance.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, man. You guys really missed out. 80s were the greatest cartoon decade.
You're nuts.
The greatest.
The 90s.
The 80s.
The 90s. The 80s. Just completely dumb. No.
Rugrats, SpongeBob, Rocket 70s Power.
70s where it's at. Yeah,
what'd you have?
The Laugh Olympics. You had Hong Kong Phooey. You had the Jetsons.
The Jetsons were the 60s, bro.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a cold take. Your internet connection cut out. Like, it couldn't even believe what kind of nonsense it was transmitting through the atmosphere.
Yeah, whatever.
80s, we had He-Man. We had Thundercats. We had Silverhawks. We had the Ninja Turtles. We had it all, man. It's all you needed. Those four. Right there. Boom. G.I. Joe, the real American hero. Yeah. Yeah, that's my generation. We had the good stuff. Folks, coming up, hour number two of the show this afternoon. We got a lot to get to yet. We're going to get into this ticket thing that Philly was talking about. I wonder how this is going to be received by the people.
So what is it? They've jacked the prices. Is that the bottom line?
Not necessarily. It's complex, and we'll go through it when we continue. Jake's got your top four at four. Lucas Panzeca is going to stop by and join us for a little bit, talk a little football with him. Ah, Titans with another big one this weekend against the Coats. Hour number two of The Drive coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.